safe out there.
Yeah. Make sure you're kind of paying attention to all the things that we said before, the WHO, the CDC. Also, it's important here in Oregon, you still have time to turn in your absentee ballots. So make sure that you are voting by mail, if possible. Again, a subject that we didn't have time to touch on. Right. That is a little bit crazy. But please, if your state is still voting or is about to, please make sure you do it by mail, if possible. And again, pay attention to the CDC and the WHO for new information.
Yes, indeed. And yeah, be sure to check out laborradionetwork.org. And if you are interested in continuing this conversation with me, you can find me on Twitter at Michael B. Kath. Have a great night.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Okay.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. My name is Emma, and we're listening to KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM in Portland and everywhere on the World Wide Web. Tonight we are talking with Paul Wright from Prison Legal News and the Human Rights Defense Center about the campaign for prison phone justice. So, Paul, can you tell me, first of all, did I get that name right?
Yes, you did. It's a campaign for prison phone justice, and we have a website, prisonphonejustice.org, and...
Paul, let's pull out for a minute, and just explain to people what prisoners face in prison when they're trying to make phone calls. If you're a typical incarcerated person, I know it varies from state to state, but... like for me, when I want to make a phone call, all I have to do is just pick up my phone and, you know, I'm on the phone all day and I just pay, you know, like $65 a month and that covers all my calls. I can call anywhere in the country and using Skype and Zoom, I can call anywhere in the world. What is it like for someone who's incarcerated who wants to make a phone call?
Right. So what's happened in prison is there's two hedge fund owned companies that pretty much have a monopoly on the prison phone call industry. One of them is Global Tel Link, and the other one is Securus. And both these between the two of them, these companies control 90% of the prison phone market. And what they've done is they've entered into exclusive long-term monopoly contracts with detention facilities at the DOC level with states, and at the jail level with counties and cities. And what they, in exchange for getting the monopoly contract with the detention facility, they give the detention facilities a kickback or a commission in exchange for these exclusive monopoly contracts. And basically the cost of these kickbacks and plus their own profit margin and everything else is being passed along to the consumer. So while consumers outside of prison are able to pay $50 or $60 or $70 a month for unlimited phone service, where literally you can get on the phone at a minute past midnight on the first of the month and stay on the phone for the next 30 days until the end of the month continuously and still pay that same flat fee. What these companies have done is they've heavily monopolized monetized these same services. So prisoners and their families are paying anywhere from a low in states that have eliminated the kickbacks, like New York. Prisoners and their families might pay 3 cents a minute for the cost of a phone call, to other states and places where they're paying as much as 80 cents a minute for the cost of a phone call. And one of the things that we've also seen is in some locations, for example, people are paying up to $9.99 or $14.99 for a single phone call from people at the prisons and jails. And it's So recently, one of the things that these companies have done is they require that people receiving phone calls from prisoners set up prepaid accounts, and then they charge people to literally pay the phone bill. They charge people money at each time they want to deposit money into this prepaid phone account. And so they do that, and then they also, in addition to that, charge other fees as well. And the FCC limited the fees that they could charge, yet we're not sure that they're really complying with that FCC order in terms of the ancillary fees that they're able to charge. Where basically for since 1992, the Human Rights Defense Center has been fighting against basically the financial exploitation of prisoners and their families through the use of exorbitant phone rates. And in 2012, we kind of formalized this by starting the Prison Phone Justice Campaign. And what we've been doing primarily over the last number of years has been seeking to lower the cost of prison phone calls. And for a number of years, we petitioned the Federal Communications Commission to do that. And we achieved a measure of relief with them, with the Federal Communications Commission, in part because we had commissioners on the FCC who were sympathetic to the issue and who had decided that the time had come to do something about the exorbitant phone rates that that prisoners and their families were subjected to. And this is the context that a petition had been filed in 2001 called the Wright Petition, and is no relation to me, by a woman by Martha Wright, who was an African-American woman who was a grandmother in Washington, D.C., and whose son was in prison, and she wanted to maintain, her grandson was in prison, and she wanted to maintain contact with him. And her phone bills were so high that it got to the point where she was literally having to choose between talking to her grandson or buying medications for her medical conditions. And that case languished in front of the FCC for well over a decade until we started our phone justice campaign. And after we started it, there was suddenly movement on that petition. And we started seeing the FCC took a number of actions that were very important, one of which was they capped the cost of intrastate calls, and they capped it at 21 cents a minute, which was a huge improvement. We still think that was too high, but it was a huge improvement over what it was. Prior to the FCC taking action, prisoners and their families were paying up to 90 cents or a dollar a minute for the cost of intrastate calls. And the FCC then took action to limit the cost of interstate calls. And these are the calls within the state. And unfortunately, two things happened, one of which was the prison telecoms filed a lawsuit over the issue, and they sought review in the federal appeals court over that. And then the big thing that happened was, in the meantime, Donald Trump got elected president, and he appointed Ajit Pai, who'd been a commissioner with the FCC. He appointed him to be the chairman of the FCC, and he was appointed chairman 2 days before the federal appellate court was supposed to hear the argument in the prison phone rate case. And Pai instructed his attorneys, the FCC attorneys, to not defend the case, to basically throw in the towel and not defend the agency's order, which was kind of a first time that's ever happened in FCC litigation. And HRDC, we had intervened in the case, and we attempted to defend the FCC's order, but unfortunately, the Federal Appeals Court struck down that order capping the rates. So we're kind of left with kind of back where we were before that. So the upshot was that the FCC was able to cap out-of-state calls going from prisoners in a state outside of the state, but the cost of the calls within the state were not capped, or they weren't being regulated. So that's kind of where we've seen things stand, I think, as far as the FCC goes, is, you know, there's just not a lot. They've indicated that they're not really.
So people may have to pay as much as $14.99 just to make a phone call in prison. This is
correct,
not...
and that's just for one phone call. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one of the things too, though, is I do a fair amount of public
speaking. And how much? And just a reminder, Paul, what is the average wage of someone who's actually lucky enough to have a job in prison? Do you know about what it is?
Well, I think yes, and I think that's a really good point to make. And just remember that on any given day, there's 600,000 people in jail at the city and county level. And I'm unaware of a single jail in the United States that pays jail prisoners anything, like nothing at all. Like, I'm not aware of a single jail prisoner in America that can earn even a penny for their labor. But depending on the state, and remember, prisoners in states like Texas and Florida literally have no legal way to earn any money. There's no money at all that prisoners in those states can earn. In other states like Washington, Oregon, prisoners might make 25, 30, 40 cents an hour, which usually comes out to around $50 or $60 a month for their wages. And it's important to note, the state does not call the money they give prisoners wages. They call them gratuities.
Mm-hmm.
So prisoners are very limited in the money they can earn. So basically, the cost of these phone calls literally falls on the backs of their family members. And overwhelmingly, these are people that are poor, and disproportionately, a large number of the people that are paying for these phone calls are also women, whether they're mothers, their spouses, their significant others.
These are also people who oftentimes they have to, in addition to paying the expenses of phone calls, their loved ones are often incarcerated at facilities that are hundreds of miles away from where they live. And so they have the additional costs of travel and of housing. And sometimes they have to make up work, or they have to take leaves of absence from work in order to go visit their loved ones. So these are all expenses that are just piled on people who the least can afford it.
Well, I think that's a really good point. I think that one of the things that we've seen is kind of a cascading series of bad decisions that have been made by politicians, one of which is building and locating prisons in remote rural locations that are a long way from the urban centers that most prisoners are from and where most of their family members from where most of their family members are from. So that's kind of factor number one. So that makes it difficult for family members and friends to visit prisoners. And then it's also kind of coupled with, on top of that, besides the remote locations, that also gets coupled with difficult, kind of draconian visiting rules that aren't exactly conducive to visiting. And that also includes, you know, visiting hours that are limited, like in some facilities, you know, limiting, in addition to the remote locations, limiting visiting to, you know, during business hours, for example, when most people have to work and things like that. So, of course, for the rest of the world, literally the other 7 billion people on the planet, telephones and telecommunications are a normal and natural and inexpensive means of staying in touch and communicating with people. Yet these companies, abetted by their government collaborators, have literally monetized, family communication, and they just see it as a means of literally extracting as much money as possible to prisoners and their family if they want to stay in touch with each other. And unfortunately, this has been going on for the last 30 years now, and there's been some improvement, but not nearly as much as is needed.
So it's basically another way of punishing the families of incarcerated persons who have committed no crime and who are actually the link in terms of recidivism, in terms of getting through their sentence, in terms of having any kind of human compassion and decency, these people are really their lifeline to their future, and they're being punished for having a connection to that incarcerated person. They're being punished financially.
Yes, one of the things I call this literally a love tax, and it's a love tax in the sense that the only people that are being impacted by this are people who have loved ones or family members who basically love them but want to stay in touch with them. If you don't have family members that want to stay in touch with you, this doesn't impact you. And one of the things that we've seen over the years that we've been doing this work is it especially has an impact on children of incarcerated parents. And at any given time, we've got 2.5 million people locked up, and a significant number of the people who are in prison have children under the age of 18. And those numbers range from anywhere between 1.8 million to over 2 million. And this is especially true for women prisoners. I'd say probably 80 or 90% when I've seen the statistics of women prisoners have children under the age of 18. And I think that it's one of those things, though, is that when you're seeing the impact that these policies have, and where literally children and their families are literally seen as vehicles to monetize incarceration and to put money into the pockets of hedge fund-owned telecoms and their government collaborators, I think it's one of the most reprehensible things that happens in the American police state. And especially since it's so, the greed and the cynicism involved in doing this, I think is really reprehensible.
So what is the campaign that your organization has worked on? What are some of the details of the campaign?
So some of the things that we've done is we've collected a lot of the information as far as the prison phone rates and contracts, and that's on our website at phonejustice.org. And so we've done that. That's provided a lot of the information that activists and people can use at the state level to see basically what's happening as far as, what are the costs of the phone calls and how much are people being charged to use these services. And at the moment, we're not really doing anything at the FCC level because to be frank, as long as I think Ajit Pai is the chair of the FCC, he's made it pretty clear that he's not interested in doing anything about the cost of the calls, exactly.
So while there's the current chair of the FCC is sitting in place, who is a Trump appointee, there's very little chance of making any progress toward reducing these rates. But the Phone Justice campaign gives activists and concerned people a set of tools that they can work with locally and within their states. Are there things within the states that, like, individuals can do to maybe try to advocate for change?
Yes, and I think that where we've seen reception has been at the various state levels, not so much at the local levels. The jails, I think, are pretty, for the most part, are pretty non-receptive to changing the status quo. That said, there's been a couple of exceptions in different parts of the country where literally one or two jails out of 3,600 have shown interest in doing something about the cost of prison phone calls. But in the rest of the country, at the state level, in some cases, both primarily legislators and occasionally governors have shown interest in doing something about the cost of prison phone calls. And we saw this in New York State. New York was one of the first states to do away with the prison kickbacks and reducing the cost of the prison phone calls down to 5 cents a minute. And other states have done this with the legislature, either capping the cost of the calls or foregoing the kickbacks One of the critical things that I think it's important to note is that generally most states are bidding for these prison phone contracts based on what the biggest kickback to the state is. The notion of bidding these contracts out based on who can provide the best service at of whoever can provide the best service at the lowest cost seems to be a totally alien concept, and one in which we're just not seeing much in the way of any type of as an idea that gets much of the way of traction. And some of the proposals that we have made has been that consumers should be allowed to pick the phone carrier that they use for these calls. And if there's actual competition in the marketplace and consumers, the people who are actually paying the phone bill, could choose the carrier that they're using, I think we'd actually see competition and a drop in price. But the current system that we have in place ensures that there is literally no competition, that costs are as high as possible, and that consumers at every level are gouged and abused financially by these hedge fund owned companies.
Well, Paul, thank you so much. So what are some next steps in the campaign for prison phone justice? I guess part of it's just waiting out this current administration, as so many of us are doing. We're kind of just waiting it out.
Well, that's at the that's just at the FCC level. I think one of the things, though, is that at the local level, county jails can and should be pressured to give up these monopoly contracts and start bidding these contracts out in terms of who can provide the best service at the lowest cost. They need to be also ensuring that they do away the kickbacks. One of the things that we've been pushing for is for free phone calls. There's no reason that prisons and jails can't provide free phone calls in the sense of calls that are being paid for by the government and not by by prisoners and their families. So these are some of the things that I think that can and should be done.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't cost anything for most people to make a call in their local area. Why should it cost people who are incarcerated, who have no money, and their families who have very little money, sometimes hundreds of dollars a month just to make phone calls? So
yeah,
we all know that talking and being able to communicate is so important, especially right now during this time of COVID-19, when most state and federal prisons are on a complete lockdown. You cannot see anyone. There's no visitors coming in. There's no programs. And so the only means of communication right now are through phone calls. And this is an especially appropriate time to be talking about this issue.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that, we've been pushing at different levels for prisons and jails provide free phone calls. And the Bureau of Prisons is part of the CARES Act that provided the checks to non-prisoners, also has a provision there so that people can actually get their materials, so that people can actually make the phone calls for free. And we're seeing that at a number of places.
So, Paul, if people would like to find out more about the campaign for prison phone justice, about the Human Rights Defense Center, or about Prison Legal News, where can they go to find out about those campaigns and those organizations?
Basically, go to our website at humanrightsdefensecenter.org is one place that has humanrightsdefensecenter.org has information about both the Human Rights Defense Center and the different campaigns and projects that we have. That includes Prison Phone Justice, Prison Legal News, and Criminal Legal News, among others.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure having you.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Hi, this is Emma with Prison Pipeline. At the end of the program today, I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk to you about why I love KBOO and why I hope you will consider making a donation as we come to the end of our spring pledge drive. Programs like Prison Pipeline can only exist with community support of people like you. And I know that you love listening to shows like Prison Pipeline and Democracy Now! And all of our public affairs programming in the evening, Labor Radio, Calculated Conversations, even Transpositive. So I hope you will consider making a donation tonight on kboo.fm. We're offering matching grant up to $20,000. So for every donation that you make, your dollar amount will be matched. So please consider going to kboo.fm and make a donation. And if you're not sure how much to give, a really good rule of thumb is give like 1 hour's wages. So if you're unemployed right now because of COVID-19, you know, don't even worry about it. But if you are lucky enough to have a job and you like listening to KBOO while you're working at home, or if you are an essential worker and you're driving to work and you listen to KBOO, consider giving 1 hour of your wages a month. So like, for instance, if you make $15 an hour, that would be $180 a year. And that would make a big help for KBOO. So thanks so much. And again, please go to kboo.fm and make your donation today. Thanks so much and have a great night.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Somebody help me, set me free. I can't take this new reality. How much longer can it be? Where's the humanity? I look around and all I see, masked faces staring at me. Keep your distance, don't touch me. Get your hands off my teepee. Somebody save my sanity. The COVID killer's coming after me. How much longer will it be? Where's the humanity? I'm sick and tired of staying at home. Even worse, I live alone. Gotta get out, I need to roam. You can't shake hands on the phone. Touch, I need to feel, I need to hug a friend for real. I'm not down for this new deal. I'm not down for this new deal. The COVID killer keeps piling it on. Counting the dead goes on and on. We gotta stay safe, gotta be strong. Ride this out no matter how long. There's no borders, there's no walls. Alone together, we stand, we fall. Around the world, hear the call. Alone together, we stand, we fall. Somebody help me, set me free.
I can't take this new reality. How much longer can it be? Where's the humanity? Somebody save my sanity. The COVID killer's coming after me. How much longer will it be? Where's the humanity?
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
One, two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
94.1 KBOO.
What you see here